Good song. Woe to us if we ever let go, generally speaking, of God's hand. Best place to be, safest place to be, in the center of God's will. We're looking in Genesis 5 this morning. Genesis chapter 5. So if you can bear with me, I'll read it. Lots of names, repetitive phrases. Don't want to put anybody to sleep. Stay with me. If you do go to sleep, wake up for the prayer after I'm done reading. But it's there for a reason that we will see. It's there for a reason. Genesis chapter 5. This is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created the male and female and blessed them and called them mankind in the day they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. And after he begot Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years, and he had sons and daughters. So all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Seth lived 105 years and begot Enosh. After he begot Enosh, Seth lived 807 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Enosh lived 90 years and begot Canaan. After he begot Canaan, Enosh lived 815 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and he died. Canaan lived 70 years and begot Mahalalel. After he begot Mahalalel, Canaan lived 840 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. Mahalalel lived 65 years and begot Jared. After he begot Jared, Mahalalel lived 830 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years. And he died. Jared lived 162 years and begot Enoch. After he begot Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared were 962 years. And he died. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. After he begot Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Methuselah were 969 years. And he died. Lamech lived 182 years and had a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, "This one will comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord has cursed." After he begot Noah, Lamech lived 595 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Lamech were 777 years. And he died. And Noah was 500 years old. And Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word. It's amazing, Lord. I know it's all there for a reason. Help us as we look at it to understand this. But Lord, our thoughts go back to you. You're the God of all creation, the God of the universe, the God of all wonders, the God of earth, time, and space, the God who is over all. We do pray, as your word says, for those over us in leadership in our nation here. Lord, would your hand be involved in the decisions of those who make decisions. And Lord, sometimes I scratch my head, but you have allowed much more than this as to what's gone on, much worse. But we do pray for them. that the directions they make, the decisions they make, whether they know it or not, would be in the will of God for your time, for our country, ourselves, this place in history. So we pray for that. And Lord, we pray for our very needs, for those among us and those not here, different places this morning, this day. Lord, it's in our Sunday school adult class this morning, it's quite a list, but from Elta's daughter, Lori, James, as he continues to recover, and there are others who we know, serious things going on, from death of a loved one, of friends of our church families, to those who have visited here and been a part of our church family for a little while with all kinds of serious afflictions, illnesses. Those who are out and about traveling, Lord, for the Carlsons as they go, losing a sister, but Lord, one who loved you and is now in your presence. Lord, just the things that you do in our lives, we are so grateful. We are blessed. We are. So Lord, this morning, pray that you give us, by your Spirit, understanding. Speak to us, open our hearts, open our thoughts, help us to be engaged and to know. And Lord, help me, please, to hear from you. Thank you so much for your hand upon our lives. To bring you glory, may that be our desire. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis chapter 5, actually Genesis chapter 4 and 5, are the only record of human history from creation to the flood. The only record. I mean, the flood destroyed. We'll get to there and take a look at it, but it destroyed a lot. Genesis 4 and 5, the only record of human history. We have in here, and if you want to pull out of your bulletins, there's an insert there. We have in here the actual record of time as to when creation was. The actual record of time. Do the math. From flood back to creation, it's approximately 1,656 years. We have here the increase of population, sons and daughters, sons and daughters. There are those scholars who believe that by the time of the flood, the population of the world was more than it is now. Some scholars believe it was up to 7 billion people. Because when God said to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, that's what's happening here. It's not just, well, they had 2 or 3 kids and away they went. It was many. Many. So the earth had a lot of people in it by the time of the flood. Obviously, you see here also, people lived long lives. And we're not talking about by the time that they hit 65 that they were already having to be pushed around in the wheelchair. They lived long lives. And I think it's because that the effects of sin, this is the grace of God, for Adam and Eve, in the day that you eat of the fruit that I tell you not to, you will die. And of the grace of God, they started to, at that point, mortality entered human race. Sin and death through sin, but not immediate. This is the grace of God, letting people live so long. But obviously the physical effect of sin upon the human body took a while, and that's why if you look on the chart down at the bottom, you can see where things start to just dwindle right down as far as length of life. Just dwindles right out. You have in here the line to Noah, leading up to Noah through Adam to Seth. You have in here a literal time. We've looked at this extensively in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Literal time, not millions of years. Not millions. There are some who would go, well, the Bible is accurate, but there's a lot more time that's missing, that there's gaps. There's gaps in here. So they might have had gaps. And then years weren't then as they were now. It's like, where are they coming up with this? Because they just do not want to take the Bible as literal truth. So it's thousands, not millions for the human race. Definitely not billions. Literal time. Otherwise, there are two chronologies, among others, in the Bible. One is in Luke chapter 3 that brings it down to Jesus. And the other is in 1 Chronicles 1:1, which gives this same list through Seth, name by name to name to name to name. So it's like, this person was this person's father, and this was their child, and this was their child, and this was their child. No gaps in between. Otherwise, you can't say this is off. You'd have to go, all those other chronologies are off as well, which people want to say. But more importantly with this, this is the line of Christ. And that's what Luke 3 brings out, especially. It's the line of Christ. Coming from Adam through Seth, and away we go. Through Noah, and it continues. The line of Christ. And so we have here, and if you want to look on the time chart, this is the authentic record. Now, I know there are those who go, well, ancient man, primitive man, once he jumped out of the caves, did not have writing. I would tend to think that the flood destroyed a lot, that it was writing, not just oral traditions spoken down. Because if you look at the chart at the back, you have basically, Adam overlapping Methuselah for approximately 240 years. You want to hear the story again? Go talk to your great-great-great-grandfather, Adam. He's still around. And he'll tell you exactly what happened. 240 years overlap. And then from Methuselah, you have 500 years of overlap to Noah. 500 years. And then Noah with Shem, 450 years of overlap, and Shem to Abraham, approximately 150 years overlap. So this is much more than just, well, even if it was oral tradition, it'd be like, no, your story's not correct. Go ask your great-great-great-grandfather. He'll give you the right account again, because he's still around. Such overlappings. So let's look at this quickly. It's kind of, we'll look at it at the start and then towards the end, because there's some things we'll learn from the in between. But verse 1, there's a couple of things mainly about, well, this chapter as a whole, three thoughts to pull. There's promise, there's curse, and there's hope. So verse 1, God created man. This is repeated again, that it was God who created man. And as the Bible scholar Matthew Henry says, man is not his own maker, therefore he's not his own master. I like that. It's God who created man. And then secondly, with that, God created man. There was a day. We've looked at that. In the opening chapters of Genesis, there was a day. Man has not been around forever, let alone a long time. God created man. And then, in verse 1 especially, attention is called to the truth again. He made him in the likeness of God, in God's likeness. Now, a lot of things there, in God's likeness, with mind, will, emotion, reasoning, intelligence, awareness, all of that. But the capacity to communicate, the capacity to understand God's, at that time, spoken word. And also in the likeness of God, where he was charged by God to rule the earth. In God's likeness, because God is the absolute authority, but making man in his image and likeness, setting him in charge to rule the earth, but especially the capacity in God's likeness for relationship. Remember, in the beginning, God, it's not singular, it's Hebrew plural God, like family or team. Because the rest of the Bible fills in the gaps where the Father was involved in creation, the Son was involved in creation, and the Spirit. So the three have always been in incredible harmony and communion and union with each other. One God, three persons. Don't ask me to explain it. But the three have always been. And so in God's likeness, in relationship, in God's image and likeness, created man with the capacity for relationship with each other and the capacity for relationship with God. Because he's made in the likeness of image. Now you notice real quickly that changes to the likeness of the image of man. But here is God created. And then verse 2, pulling out of verse 2, and God not only created, but he named them. He named them. So he did not leave man to name himself. Adam named animals before Eve was around. But here God named them mankind, generic man. He named them. It was not for mankind to name itself. And he blessed them. Created the male and female, verse 2 in the middle, and he blessed them. With everything they needed, health, provisions, food, each other, everything we need. Sort of parallels Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. And my God will meet all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And he blessed them. All in that. Promise. Oh, but then it goes bad. Sort of goes downhill from there. Curse. Because almost all the rest of the people of the chapter, one phrase, besides others having sons and daughters, encapsulates their life. And he died. It's one phrase. And he died. 8 times. Long life, but not forever. Because in verse 3, Adam had a son, Seth, but in his own likeness, after his image. See, by this time, Adam and Eve were sinners. They were wrong before God, clothed by the righteousness of God through animal sacrifice foreshadowing Jesus' death on the cross, and yet still sinners. And Adam, who became a sinner, gives birth to a sinner in his own image, in his own likeness. Matthew Henry again said, a sinner begets a sinner, but a saint does not beget a saint. In other words, every individual, there are no grandchildren or children who go to heaven because my mom and dad were very religious, very strong Christians. It's like, no. A sinner begets a sinner. A saint can't beget a saint. It's all everyone's generation, every decision by every person on their own. Not what your parents or grandparents were like. Young or old, it's through faith in Christ. I talked to someone this past week who was like, well, I'm a Baptist. I've been a Christian all my life. And I don't get into a theological argument while they have me on a couch drilling my teeth kind of thing, whatever. But it gives you a clue as to where I was. But I did make a comment because that all that life, I've heard that before. I've been a Christian all my life. Nobody's a Christian all their life. They may have been raised in a Christian home, had a Christian background from their grandparents and great-grandparents. My grandfather was a Methodist minister for over 40 years. And as my 90-some-year-old aunt would say, not United Methodist, Methodist. Okay. We lived next door for 18 years, 9 years to one family. The church owned the house. We were here. The United Methodists owned the next house. They were there. So we saw United Methodist pastors and pastoresses come and go. But for 9 years, there was one family there. 9 years, not two or three. And our girls grew up together, became good friends. But a true Christian, evangelical, United Methodist pastor. So I learned some of the inside things through him about United Methodist stuff. Anyways, did I just get off track? Of course. How did I do that? I'm not sure. Somebody bring me back. Long life, but not forever. Young or old, a person comes each to faith in Christ. By the way, it's interesting that from Adam to Lamech, seven generations. We'll see that later. As well as Adam to Enoch, seven generations. So, the curse of sin upon the human race, can't get away from it, except one. Hope. One. So here we go, chapter 5. That's why I wanted the reading from the scripture this morning at the start of the service. Verse 19, begot Enoch, seven generations down from Adam. Verse 23, 365 years. Verse 24. That's it. Everyone except one. Enoch. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Statement of hope. Enoch, through Seth, seven generations down. Lamech, chapter 4, through Cain to Adam, seven generations. Total opposites. If you want to look at the end of chapter 4, and you'll see Lamech through Cain and his chest-pounding pride. And in chapter 4, that speech he gives his wife, that someone would dare hurt him, have the audacity to hurt him, he will just simply kill. And then boast about it and make a speech. Some say it's poetry, maybe a little song. Seven generations down, that's Lamech, that's this Lamech. Seven generations down from Adam through Seth, Enoch. Total opposites. Total opposites. Walking with God. Now, what does that mean? Enoch walked with God. A couple things about that. Enoch walked with God. First of all, he walked. He didn't run. He didn't sprint. He didn't jog. You know, it's interesting in the New Testament, how much do we see of Jesus as Jesus walked? It's not original with me. Many of others have said the phrase, you know, Jesus was never in a hurry. Do you know the fastest animal he ever took was a mule? Mules are not known for being speedy animals. For all of you mule owners out there, you know more than I do. But that was it. The fastest animal Jesus ever rode on was a mule. He was never in his hurry. We read, in a hurry, he walked. And so here's Enoch walking. Now, what speed at times, this is where it starts to get personal and practical in our lives, what speed at times do you think God works at? How about the speed that God works at most of the time? At a walk. Come on, Lord, I just said, you know, how about yesterday? Couldn't this prayer request have been answered yesterday or last week? It'd be much better now. But Jesus walked. And Enoch walked with God. So, practically speaking, at times, if that's often the speed that God works at, that Jesus exemplified, at times, why don't we slow down? Why don't we just slow down? Now, I know in times past I've used the phrase, you're on the fast lane. Life is on the fast lane. Like, it's just always so busy. It's like one thing to the next. I kind of liken it more to the crowded lane, where you're just being pushed along, and that's the speed. So at times, why don't we slow down? Slow down from what? Pressure, rush, stress, tension. See, those are non-walking terms, right? Okay, that's somebody who nodded yes in response. Okay, two people, not counting. Okay, so Enoch walked with God. Not before, not after, not ahead of, not behind. With, implying an intimacy, a closeness. In the New Testament, we have more, since it's right in Genesis 1, more revelation about the Holy Spirit. And the word that Jesus uses is paraclete, or comforter. And the essence of the word means one who comes alongside. He comes alongside. The comforter. He comes close to or near. The Holy Spirit, the paraclete, is the word and how it's translated. Intimacy, walking with, closeness. And then thirdly of this, he walked with God. If walking, practically speaking, means closeness, then the question is, who or what are we close to? That's the question. You know, you start to rub off, or others start to rub off on you, depending on who you're close to. It's the way human nature works, right? It's called influence. And there's a lot in Proverbs about the kind of friends we have. And think of the kind of friends that are actually good for us and the kind of friends that are not. So if walking with implies closeness, Enoch was walking with God, was close to him, practically speaking, who am I allowing in my life to rub off on me? Is it good or not? Very practical. Closeness. Influence. Friends. So how did Enoch walk with God? How did he? You want to take out your bulletins? Look at the top reading there. It's from Hebrews. It's right there. Hebrews chapter 7. By faith, Enoch was taken away so he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. It's quoting out of Hebrews. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. How did Enoch walk with God? Now, verse 6 here is a commentary, right in your bulletin, is a commentary on verse 5. He pleased God. How did he please God? Verse 6 says, faith. By faith. I mean, that's what Hebrews is about, especially chapter 11. How did he please God? By faith. In Hebrews 11:6, it's in your bulletin, gives the two basic elements as to a faith for a life that pleases God. Because number one, he who comes to God must believe that he is. He is. He is God. No one else is. And God is. God actually is. There is. But he's God. Believes that he is. And that's what Enoch did. And so we have revealed to us in the New Testament, in Jesus Christ, as our one adult Sunday school class is going very carefully through the Gospel of John, there is so much there that Jesus himself talks about what it means to believe and what it doesn't mean. And when you start looking at it, it's like, this is very interesting. It's not just head stuff. As a matter of fact, it's anything but. head stuff to believe. It's an act of the will, a decision, a committal, as in a man and a woman get married and commit to each other. Committing to the person on the basis of what you know, even though what you know is not exhaustive, committing, believing, not just a head thing. So he believed that God is, and then he also rewards. In the New Testament, that is, Jesus is God, God in the flesh. But that also, secondly, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. See, it's a constant, continuous, consistent truth through all the Bible that the Lord is good. He's good. Always there. He is good. The truth is there from the start. And so the God who is the one who is good. He rewards, he treats well those who seriously seek him. He is a rewarder of those who diligently or earnestly or seriously seek him and want to follow him. He's good. You know, you don't follow someone who's bad. You know they're bad. And God treated Enoch well, didn't he? Genesis chapter 5. Enoch walked with God. Somebody has said 365 years, a year for a day. 365. And then he was not, he just was not. Because God took him. God took him straight to heaven. How did it happen? I don't know. Later on, we're told Elijah in the time of the prophets. And the chariots of fire with Elisha. My father, the chariots of Israel. I think he's chariots of Israel. But chariot and horses of fire down. And then there goes Elijah. One writer has said, what a way to go. How'd you like to be taken in heaven in a fiery chariot that doesn't burn you? You just step on and whew, it's like, is that the earth down there? Oh, we left that a long time ago. That was Elijah. And God took him. Doesn't say he disappeared, anything like that. Or he sort of vanished. Just God took him. Someday we know that will happen in general to the true followers of Jesus Christ, called the rapture of the church. Rapture is not in the Bible, but that's a term used to describe it, to be taken at that point. But here, God took him. 365. Now, according to the ages of the rest of these, we would say he's not into old age yet. Not when others are living 900 years. To us, it'd be like, well, he's just in his 30s. But God took him. No old age, no pain, no disease at the young age of 365. By the way, what did Enoch do in his walking with God? What did Enoch do? And you go all the way back to the end of the Bible, and there's a book of Revelation. And then right before the book of Revelation starts, you have the little book called Jude. Jude, right before Revelation. And in my Bible, in the New Testament, and it's a short little book, Jude is on page 1,405. But in Jude, it's only one chapter, so it's just by verses 14, it says this of Enoch. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, these brute beasts, shameless individuals who serve themselves and serve the devil, who are a blight to the church and the gospel, prophesied about these also, saying, this is all the way back to Enoch's time. Quoting Enoch, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. That's Enoch. Way back then, speaking about the judgment of God coming on the ungodly. Way back then. Two things about Enoch from Jude 14. What was he doing during all this time in walking with God? He saw things that others didn't see. And he spoke things that were absolutely true. He saw things that others did not see. And he spoke things that were absolutely true. Enoch. That's what he was doing. So in the midst of all this Genesis 5 going on, dying going on, one man experienced the joy of walking with God through most of his life. We don't know when it started. Through most of his life, and then walking with God into eternity. We can follow Enoch by following Enoch's faith. How do we follow Enoch's faith? Through Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus said of himself with meaning, even though it's, as soon as I say it, you'll go, oh yeah, that's and how the rest of the verse goes. He goes, I am the way. The way. That's how we imitate Enoch's faith, through Jesus, through coming to him as the way to God, that his death on the cross was for us, that forgiveness is offered to us through his sacrifice, his shed blood, his rising from the dead, that he's the way. And in simple faith, trusting Jesus Christ to do for us what we'll never do for ourselves, and that's make ourselves good enough for God, or right with God, either way you look at it, whether good enough for God or right with him, he's done it for us. And so that's how we can enter into, and I know many of us have, but for anyone who hasn't, that's how we enter into the same kind of faith and same kind of walking life relationship with the same God and his son Jesus Christ. That begins now in this life and goes on forever. Just realizing Christ died on the cross, my sins put him there, and that I need him as my Lord and Savior. And then we, like Enoch, walked with God and can walk. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word. For being able to get through with a long section. Thank you for that. But it's, again, there's so much here. And in all the misery of what was going on, the ongoing effects of sin, Lord, a bright, sterling example of someone in the midst of all that who walked with you, and you rewarded him. So, Lord, help us to be your people in walking with you, in following you, trusting in Jesus, and letting you be the Lord, the Master, the boss of our lives. Myself, Lord, each of us here, in however that plays itself out, for your goodwill for each of us. Thank you. And may we be a gathering of people that bring glory to you. Thank you, Lord. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your hymnal back to 2.